All right, here you are. You came for part four, and this is that part. So we're going to be wrapping up our conversation, talking about next steps. Again, this was sort of recorded back in April, so we hadn't quite gone on the Anytown experience, but it is something that I wanted to have produced and ready for you all, the inclusive activism audience. And so I'm really looking forward to the idea that we will get to talk, listen, hear, and understand some things a little bit more while we still have that inner space. Anytown spirit flowing in our veins. Also, if you didn't know Anytown was back, it's back. So let's go ahead and hop right back into that interview, and I will do the bumpers at the end of the episode. Next question is, so who, you know, Eric at 14, Eric at 26, you've been doing this work for a long time. How has this helped you become a better person? Like, how has this been a form of personal leadership for you?
Oh, I have a
what
lot.
What has it done for you?
It's a lot of growing pains.
Yeah.
For with myself, I can think back where I was 14 and gay.
Yeah.
And 26 as a genderqueer person.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you, like, I had a lot of prejudice when I was growing up, you know. But like I said, and I think in this work, we need to acknowledge those prejudices too as well. Like, I can think about masculine and feminine, like, when I was saying earlier that I was too straight to be a gay guy, and I actually believed in that, and like my concept of finding a partner in high school, high school age, you think very silly.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
those internal like conversations with myself, it's like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, but like I did not, like I used to say like things like, wow, if you're, I'm gay, I like men.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feminine, like, I'm not here to like girls and things like that. You know, and that's the masculinity that I was talking. And that, you know, versus I wanted a partner who was like manly, masculine, and who would just be like one of the regular guys I was hanging out with. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
I had a lot of conversation in the growth of my language that I was using, you know, too. And I think so, that's a little struggle that I still with myself, empowered language, you know, like the word faggot and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that's a word that's being empowered in my community right now and stuff like that. You know, I just caught myself a few times talking to people in my community like that, you know, openly joking, like, you know, I was trying to make a point and but I was joking about, I was like, well, what do I know? I'm brown and I'm just a faggot, you know, that type of thing, you know. I think it's really taught me, a lot of the stuff has taught me, like, how the way I do things and, like, in the processes, like, how do I pick people to help me and who do I go to and things like that, you know. I'm very aware about my brownness in this space, in this leadership work.
Yeah. It's hard not to be.
I think about also, too, like, also, like, the upbringings, like, those like leadership programs, like I used to, like when I was 14 before I did Anytown, I did like Kiwanis, Builders Club, and like middle school, and like I remember they would invite me to like their dinner to, with like their board members, and I was like the token like brown kid.
Look at this little brown kid we got here, let's help this little guy.
God dang it. I think about like all those little things and like how this helped me, but a lot of the work that I'm doing now, I just have to relate back to like, oh, like what I used to do and things and having conversations with people. I wasn't a big proponent of like the spectrum, like, you know, also too, when we talk about like gender and sexuality and stuff like that. And when I first was doing the work, I was like, this shit is fucking complicated. I am a guy.
I
am masculine. Things like that. But I just, like, more and more, like, and just, like, it's a language. I think about language a lot. And it's not so much about being, like, politically correct. I fucking hate the word politically correct. I'm just being a like, I'm trying to be a human to another human.
Right.
And stuff. But I think there's room for growth in that, too.
Yeah.
I think in the work of social justice, I used to be very, like, down people's throats on things. Like, you can't say these things.
Hyper-vigilant.
Yeah. Like, I was so hyper to, like, things where, like, people were saying and stuff like that, you know? And I think maybe it's just with age, too, is that, no, I actually want you to say those things. Because, you know, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll relax. I'm not going to jump down your throat.
Right. And so, like, I often find myself talking to my trans students about that. Mm-hmm. I'm often talking to my queer students about that. I'm often telling the brown people I work with about that.
Yeah.
I'm not telling not to do those things.
Yeah. You have to decide. It's on you.
Right. I was like, do you honestly think, like, when I talk with my trans students and the people, the students in the organization I work with on my campus, I was like, do you think someone who's 25 years old, they spend 25 years of their whole life knowing one thing,
yeah,
do you expect them to turn around right away?
Yeah,
that's a hard lesson in this work. Yeah. Like, we're, and I think of, like, as marginalized groups,
yeah,
that space is not for us.
Yeah,
like, we, that's just not, it's not gonna be there for us. I don't think it is. Yeah. Right now in this time. And what I mean by that is that we don't get the relaxation to educate people the way we want to.
Mm-hmm.
We have to meet where people are at.
Yeah.
And that thing, and that's just the sad truth about it, that how I see it.
So I'd like to use you as a foil here for a second. Okay. Because you and I agree. So I have friends that will tell me, and again, take your time, right? Because I had to think about this, so I'm just springing this on you.
Uh-huh.
So I have friends that will say, well, I have I don't have time to be patient. I'm doing the work, I'm protesting, I'm exhausted, I don't have the patience to do this.
Yeah.
Why should I teach your dumbass this thing when I'm just trying to exist and be in me and who all I can be? What do you say to that type of thinking or thought?
Cool, me too. Yeah. You know, what makes you different from this person that you're talking to?
Uh-huh.
That's really what it is. It's like, I think, maybe it's just in myself, and yeah. So I used to think I was above people.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I think worse.
It's nice to feel like you are.
You know, like, yeah. I used to think, oh, I'm doing this work, I am better than this person.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's how we feel, you know, yeah. Like, we're such a better person.
We're performing wokeness.
Yeah, like, I am woke.
And woke-ativity.
Yeah. Like I said, this, like, whole election... You know, I'm far from mad from, like, Trump supporters. I'm mad at the people that were supposed to uplift our people but didn't, you know, and things like that. But I there's so much divisiveness in it's the othering of people that gets under my skin.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tough conversation, like we have with, like, with our own people in our own marginalized groups and stuff like that. Yes, it's so hypersensitive because we're so tired of it.
Yeah.
But honestly, we need to start meeting people where they're at.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to reach Johnny if you're telling him he's a homophobic asshole who doesn't believe in trans people and, you know.
Yeah, I've not yet seen where someone just yells that at Johnny and Johnny all of a sudden becomes woke and is like, damn, good point. I do suck.
Right.
Let me join your side of the protest.
Right. And so, and I often think about the awesomeness of a conversation I could have had that sprung on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If I just met him in person.
But, yeah.
I don't know if you remember, like,
I do.
I had that one friend who just, like, said uncalled for things, you know, talking about privilege, that I had a minority privilege and that I can be racist without being called a racist, you know, and things like that. But
which you can be racist,
right?
And like, you can be discriminatory too, right?
I can be prejudiced and discriminatory, but I don't know about the racist part.
Well, but generally, like, sometimes we're self-racist.
Well, I think we're also racially biased too.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
it's just in our work. The air.
You know, but that's the other thing too, is confronting our own biases within our own causes that we're we're so biased in it. You know, as far as like take yourself out of this for a second.
Yeah.
What is it that he's being triggered by what you're saying? You know?
Well, and can you go to your space of privilege and fragility and notice where you have these pushbacks? I really appreciate you saying it too, because, you know, it's one thing for me to say it, right? Because I gotta own that I pass, right? I own that I'm straight. You know, like, my biggest privilege thing technically is my masculinity, and my cisness, right? Those are the biggest things that I can own, like, as privilege. Like, I am trying, like, we talked briefly about me trying to own my passingness. Yeah. It's hard. It's a quasi-privilege.
Yeah.
So it's harder to hit. It's harder to nail. It's harder to perform. It's harder to talk about, because passing is such a...
Yeah.
It's a very unique experience.
Right.
But with your, you know, the fact that you're Latinx, the fact that you're genderqueer, the fact that you're a gay and masculine man, that, you know, with so many intersectional targets, can still have the patience to still say, okay, let's sit down and let's talk. And I don't want to damn the folks that do the protests.
No, I don't
there's
either.
There's a space for them. Yeah. And they need to be doing the thing that in that way.
Yeah.
But you gotta recognize.
I love the work that they're doing. I'm happy that they're being woke.
Yeah.
You know,
right? They're waking up others.
Waking up others, you know, and I'm happy that they're doing this work. But I think it's the approach that we do it at, and I don't think it. In reality, it removes us from the humanistic way that we could reach people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying to go out and be kumbaya with people.
No, at all.
I want us to have honest, uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
People speak from what they feel, you know.
Yeah.
I want people to have those conversations, because like this right here, we're having, this is the kind of conversation that I want to have with a Trump supporter or someone who believes in white supremacy or anything like that, you know, or someone who doesn't believe in trans people, you know, like in those types of things. Like, I want to have this kind of dialogue with people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important that people miss the point of what human connection can do.
Yeah.
And what you can achieve.
Yeah.
And so I think those are things that I've been overcoming over the years. I can think of my age from 18 to about, like, 24.
Yeah.
Because, like, I started having some self-realizations. Like, and Facebook does a good job of reminding you.
Yeah.
Of what's happened
in
the past, you know. And I take screenshots a lot of those, like, things that I was saying, like, oh, I can use this as an example, you know, like, again, going back to, like, when I was in high school, like, saying, like, I only date men, I don't date femmin, you know, and if I wanted to date a girl, I would date a girl, you know, things like that.
Yeah. It's hard enough to find a partner as it is, like, disqualifying folks before you get to know
them. Right. Growing up and to all the queer people out there, especially the gay men, like, I feel for you. Like, being fat, being brown, or being Asian or being black in the community, it's hard enough. And
now you're performing the perfect amount of anonymity, you know, femininity, masculinity.
And I still struggle, like, with that, you know. Of course.
Well, you're in spaces where it exists.
Yeah, like, I can't even go on to, like, a dating app without seeing it.
Right.
You know, this says no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Yeah.
I only date athletic type guys.
Right.
Or you need to, like, I don't know, it's just, like, the colorism in it, too.
Yeah.
It's like, we're an already oppressed group, and we're already doing, you need to have these European centralized looks.
Yeah.
You need to have a chiseled physique.
Yeah.
And Hispanic will pass as white, you know.
Well, you know, light skin, but as long as you look really frat boy-ish, right? Like, like what you might see in, like, a porn or something.
Oh, and you have to be masculine, too, you know.
Yeah, like, there's all this, like, look for, like, I mean, gosh, in the community, like, there can't be, like, that many super masculine, like, gay guys, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's a spectrum, like, there's only so many, and then now you're fighting over, like, this perception of, like, not enough, when, like, you're already working with 10% of the population as it is.
I want to have these conversations with people in my community, because I think it's about time we sit down and talk about this.
I think it'd be good.
It's coming to, like, a point where, like, just people are so catty with each other.
Yeah.
And I think,
I'm gonna correct you on that one.
Sorry.
We love
my
each
bad.
Other. No worries. But it's more of the negative gossip.
Yeah, side. The negative gossip side of it, and there's just things that, like I said, I'm tired of. Gay men that we're tired, you know, like, and just, it's like, it's enough. Like, we do this already. We're already an oppressed group, you know. Like, Like, we don't need to do this stuff to each other.
Yeah.
And we should be uplifting each other. And especially, like, now, like, our... what our people that work for from the... that work from the 60s up till now, yeah. you know, didn't die, you yeah. know, for us to be like this.
And they're also not perfect currently.
Right.
Just like we aren't.
Right.
So there's two last questions I want to ask, and then I want to make sure I respect your time because we've been talking for almost 2 hours now.
That's okay.
So this is hard work, incredibly hard work. Uh-huh. You're not getting paid for this work currently. Right. You get to do some of it as part of your job, which is nice. Like I get to do a decent amount of it as part of my job too. We're really blessed in those ways, regardless of any like religious notion. But it's also hard work, and you're always bashed on your perfectionism. You're never doing it good enough for anybody. You're either too sensitive, or you're always correcting. You should be doing this. I mean, I hear you all the time with these you shoulds with any town stuff.
Yeah.
All the time, you know? It's just so rough. Given that this is such a hard life, why is it worth leading?
Oh. Well, I am tired of my people dying in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's worth leaving. I'm tired of seeing black and brown trans people dying, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I lead.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to be an out there person in doing this because I was given a gift.
Yeah.
You know, someone woke me up, you know, and said, wake up, and like, it's time to do this work. But I think it's like an unintentional gift that as people of color are given.
Yeah.
And it's up to you whether you stay salient or stay complacent about it.
Yeah.
Or you do something about it.
And why, because you told me the other reason, right? Uh-huh. Like the outside me reason.
Yeah.
What's like the inside me reason that you do it?
Inside?
Yeah, like, because there's a internal drive. There's a bit of, like, again, it's not selfish, right? I mean, it's weird to say. I was talking with my friend Luke on one of the podcasts, and he's one of the folks that got arrested a couple days ago in the nonviolent act of trying to stop the Lupe in Phoenix from getting deported.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to edit his podcasting to have it out there because he was at Standing Rock, too.
Uh-huh.
So I need to bring him back in and talk about this. I think I'm going to have to talk to Luke, like, weekly. But there still is a good... personal basis of why you should do this, like you know,
I
and we're especially lucky. We get to be in those spaces of like watching people get woken up and be together.
Yeah,
you know. But like inside you, what does that do for you?
Right, and something inside is telling me it's like I have to do it.
Yeah,
it's not like anything people are telling me to do. It always has been that you have to do it, Eric.
Yeah.
No one else is going to do it for you. And that's how I feel like my whole life. I've always done stuff for myself.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I think that's what's keeping my drive going. Like, I can internalize things that people are saying, you know, take that to heart, you know, and things like that. But there's just something, and again, that's probably my spiritual side.
Yeah.
Trying to tell me, like, hey, you need to continue to do this work. You know?
Well, I find too, like when I wake somebody else up, I heal a little bit more, like each time.
Right.
And granted, like I'm never done getting wounded, but I'm also never done being healed. And it's weird because people don't understand me or like people that do this stuff because they're like, how do you have this like infinite heart? And, you know, I don't have an infinite heart.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, I'm blessed to get to come home and like cuddle with these puppies.
Yeah.
I have a fantastic partner here. I've got friends, you know, that I can confide in and have these conversations with. But when I heal someone else, like everything else gets a little bit better. And when I'm in those spaces of unbelievable dynamic connection, like I know I have the ability to do that. And when I give myself like a bullshit excuse, you know, like, oh, I can't do this now, or oh, I can't, I don't want to do this, or I'm too tired, or I don't have the time for that. I have to keep building capacity in my personal self to do more of the work. And if there's not more rowdy, there's less work. So I find myself always like at the uncomfortable edges of my rowdiness.
I agree with that.
Pushing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if I don't learn how to file better, if I can't like organize my desk better, you know, it'll limit my podcast ability a little, like, you know, in this podcast.
Right.
I'm trying to serve folks.
Yeah.
And give, you know, like, if there's value there, I'm hoping people get it.
Yeah. I feel like that's, like, also to, like, my internal, like, I need this for self-care.
Yeah.
I do need this stuff.
That's my next question.
Yeah. I think a lot of this work is, like, self-care for myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, just having these conversations,
yeah,
like, with people, you know, like, whether if they are different from me, mm-hmm, as far as, like, how we politically see things, or if it's, like, what they believe in. It's not something I agree with, you,
yeah,
know, but just knowing that I had that conversation with that person and said, hey, like, thank you for being honest with me, you,
yeah,
know, but I have to be honest too, like, I don't like when people say this, you know,
yeah,
or things like that.
Right.
I think that's what keeps the drive-in with myself going, you know, if I can be able to talk to each person or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kind of on that self-care note, when I'd wrote the self-care article that got,
right,
on the Anytown site, in it I kind of said a little prophetically, because people were bemoaning, like, 2016 is a difficult year, and I was like, if you think that's hard, wait till, like, 17 to 20. But I think self-care's got to be a conversation we're having. So, as far as you and your self-care, what type of things are you doing? Because, one, selfishly, if you're doing something awesome, I need to jump on board of that thing.
Right.
But I think for the anyone who happens, I have no idea who's going to listen to this either.
Yeah.
It may just be you and me, like, someday.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you doing?
So, one that I want to, that's on top of my head, that one of my students, like, told me on Friday,
mm-hmm,
was, why, for me, part of that self-care is stop trying to be political on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
To start posting stuff that makes you happy.
Yeah.
On Facebook. I got a haircut today. This is awesome.
Right. Look,
like,
at my dope ass haircut.
You know?
Yeah.
Or look at me. I'm at, you know, this Bianca Del Rio stand-up comedy show. Sitting,
yeah,
in the front, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think if everyone did that, I think that would change the dynamic.
Yeah.
Of how people are seeing Facebook and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, although I appreciate the sentiments and the conversations that are keep going,
mm-hmm,
on Facebook, and, you know, the articles that are talking about the social issues, but I don't want to read those every day.
Right.
Just to tell you the truth, I live most of those things.
Right.
And so, but, you know, like, I just don't want to, like, I want to choose the news outlets that I want to read from.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see that stuff. And I think that's part of my self-care. And like I was just telling you the other day, how do I, like, deactivate myself from Facebook, but still also being active on it too?
Yeah.
Because right now it's not a perfect time for me to do that, just because of the line of work I'm doing.
Totally, yeah.
I need social media to do my work,
yeah,
you know. But I'm just, like, I'm so tired, and stop using that word tired. I'm, you know, say that we're so
it's
tired.
It's just a difficult time.
It's,
you know,
a difficult time,
saying,
you
I
know?
Mean, yeah, you're tired, right? But, like, it's just difficult, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just tired. It's, I mean, there's just a lot to take in.
Right.
And unless we're taking in some positivity.
Right.
Which I really like.
I think I'll say difficult time.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult, you know?
Totally.
But I ask that even the people that are listening to this, like, post stuff that, like, makes you happy.
Yeah.
I'm at the beach right now,
right,
with my dog, you know.
Well, I was just thinking, like, go to, like, Huffington Post Good News.
Right.
Like, thankfully, I'm still in places where, like, I get tagged in, like, every cute pit bull video that exists,
yeah,
on the internet.
Right.
So, like, that's really good. Or, I donated to Feed My Starving Children. And again, it's not because I wanted to show off for me. Like, I wanted to say, like, emerging leaders is one of those things that changed me, because the hunger banquet.
Yeah.
So that's something that I always will find time to do. Is find some ways to use some resources just to feed people that need to eat. But if I wasn't connected to that thing, I could be, that could be invisible to me too.
Right.
So I shared that because, and it's hard because I don't want to be perceived as look at me.
Right.
But I wanted to say thank you, because without them, I wouldn't have done it.
Right. No, that's very important.
Yeah.
You know, I think in that sharing that, you know, I just want people posting all the time. I'm at the gym today.
Yeah.
I know you're at the freaking gym every day.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know, but not with things like that. Like, yeah. Oh, like, take a picture of your paper. I just spent the last 3 hours trying
yeah.
to get this paper. Let me tell you how relieved I am. Now I'm going to watch this TV.
Right, know? Right, yeah.
I think about that. Get good exercise.
Yeah.
Do meditation. Do some breathing exercises.
Yeah.
Because that's been helping me too. Yeah. And again, still trying to reach my spiritual side. Just been trying a little bit of meditation a little bit.
That's good.
Breathing helps a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, I said, like, you don't lose energy. It just moves to a different area.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know where to use it, you know.
Well, I think it's cultivating it too. Like, I found with the meditation stuff that I've been doing, because I've been doing it pretty well. Uh-huh. Like, I had a goal of just 3 times a week. I think I've exceeded it so far since December, because, you know, I'm one of those why wait till January folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait till it better till then.
Right.
But I'm calmer. I am very frustrated and angry and a violent person. Like, I have to own that this is part mm-hmm. of me and my experience. That's why I want to talk about positive masculinity,
mm-hmm.
because I need it. And if I have to be the source of it, so be it.
Yeah.
Because we need something that's more holistic. You know, like, rather than just the frame of what a man should look like.
Right.
Like, I'd rather be a man who's a human, but there's not a lot of frames for that.
There isn't.
And so, trying to find something that is that.
Yeah, or even just posting on that, like, oh, today me and 5 other men went down to, you know, this boy center and talked to them about, you know, just talk to them, you know, like, different types of men and...
Yeah,
it's coming to that. That's that's the framework that I want to see happen, you know.
Well, and I think what helps me a lot so much too is you know, today's conversation with you.
Yeah.
Part of why I think I needed this podcast was, and you know, again, I don't know how many people will listen to this. Like, I don't know if people will listen at all. Like, for me, I needed to know I could do it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the, like, kind of that iron sharpens iron idea,
mm-hmm.
that if I can delve into this thing and talk about what do I get personally out of this,
mm-hmm.
if I can create a new appeal for D&I work, then maybe I can get more people into it, because there's just so much work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even getting to sit down for this 2 hours with you felt really good.
Yeah.
You know?
well, that's part of self-care. Like,
yeah.
Just and then venting or talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
I would say also to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give yourself a good cry.
Yeah.
I'm a big crier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a sucker for, like, sappy movies. And there's just like a full emotional release when you cry.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get to sleep after.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things I'm trying to tap into a little bit more. I'd read this thing a few years ago that there's a special chemical that only exists in tears.
Uh-huh.
And it only gets released through tears specifically. So they wonder if, you know, men like me might get, like, what type of toxin or thing does this build up in us? And that we don't express that stuff more often.
Right.
One of the things that used to help me when I did go to church is, like, whenever I'd, like, experience the spirit, like, I always weeped. And I think that's just like a me and God, like, thing right there. Ryan's like, God's like, humble yourself to this experience of a connection with the bigger me and usness. And that, like, it doesn't need to be about you, and you don't have to perform perfect you, and crying is probably the best way for you to experience this.
Right. But I say, like, crying, like, even, like, with women too, like, or some women that I've worked with.
Yeah.
They hate being emotional, you know?
Well, there's, like, a stigma.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there's a stigma for everybody for being emotional.
Yeah. But just even in itself, like, I think sharing, being vulnerable, being showing your emotions, like, God, like, I think that's what really gets to me. And I have really deep empathy for people. And, like, I have what gets me going crying,
mm-hmm.
in the line of our work is when I see machismo men or people, brown men, start crying. I'm like, oh, God, like,
oh, yeah,
like, no, like, my tears, like, start coming out, but it's just, I know that's either an uncomfortable relief, but or a sigh of relief, of them letting go what they're holding on to. I think crying is such a perfect way, and when I see, like, men cry, I get all tearing up. And,
it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's true beauty.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate, because, like, getting to go to any town last year, and seeing that Brotherhood exercise was
that
special. And so even if maybe you and I find spaces where we can bring them together to have that type of healing would be fantastic. But with that, I also promised my partner we'd do some regular old things today.
Right.
So I really deeply appreciate you coming, sharing your thoughts and ideas with me, like having this outlet. I learned a lot in our conversation, and you do great work, and it's amazing because, you know, my partner is always really good at checking me, not to overown my addition to someone, right? Like how I helped, you know? But you've been very open, like you've said, like, you know, in the times that we've spent together that I've been able to make a difference for you. And, you know, that keeps me going for tomorrow and the next day. And, like, the fact that I can come and serve under you is awesome. Like, I really appreciate that, like, you've grown to a space like that. So I just want to say thank you and for taking the time.
No problem. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for your dogs. Like, your dogs are awesome.
Yes.
I love Pebbles.
Yeah. They're
my favorite dog.
Yeah.
But thank you, Rowdy. I think you inspire me, like, every day.
Yeah.
And I think that also helps me drive and do the work. Okay, if Rowdy's saying something, I need to be saying something, too.
Yeah. There's but, a synergy in that back and forth.
Right. And, you know, like I said, I want to keep challenging myself to having these conversations with other people. And I think what I got out of this today is just really tapping into this whole thing I have with religion.
Yeah.
Like, it's something I need to get around to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want us to continue talking about that.
Oh,
and,
we will. Yeah. For sure.
So, and for those out there, again, if they're looking to send their kids to any town.
Yeah. Please do.
Anytownleadership.org.
Yeah.
And we take ages 15 to 19. Don't be afraid about the money. We have scholarships for students. We will find money for you.
Yes. Yes. And no, Eric's working dutifully on that. So go to their Facebook page. Please, if you got something out of this, appreciate E in this through Anytown. Go make a donation. We're not going to be upset that we got a $5 donation. We're probably more excited that there was even a $5 donation. Like, the $1,000 ones are cool, but the $5 ones are even more cool because you probably really needed that $5.
Yeah.
There's a humbleness in accepting that I think is cool. But stay tuned in. Go to the page because he's doing stuff in Phoenix. He's trying to share some stuff on there to help keep the Anytown spirit alive. Mm-hmm. Live the down the mountain.
Yeah.
So definitely help out with a lot of that stuff because... he's a good guy doing a lot of work, and there's a lot of work to do.
Right.
So, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, have a great time.
Fantastic. So, with that was part 4 of the interview with Eric Tanchez. Covered so many things. It was also awesome just to talk to a former student. You never really know how big of an impact you're making in the lives of other folks. And just to get to hear and still work with someone that I was able to teach in a class, I mean, I didn't really know that guy at all. I knew my students from Paradise Valley at the time in 2010, but I really didn't know Eric that well. And we went on to do leadership together as part of the Maricopa Community College District. And then I've done 2 Anytowns with him. And I really want to thank him for drawing me into that fold just because I had learned some stuff through Anytown, but I'd never had the Anytown experience. The singing, the hugging, the inevitable crying that is part of that experience. And it's one of those things that I think that makes me a better person, a better man. It makes me of service to the rest of my community. And that's something that means a lot to me because it means I'm mattering for the folks around me. So again, lastly, if this podcast made you think, if it made you want to explore some new things, donate to Anytown, please do that. But if you have thoughts that you want to share with Eric and myself, I know he's a regular listener. That phone number to do so is 860-576-9393. Again, just give it a call and leave a voicemail at 860-576-9393. That's the way I interject that information, that audio into the podcast. And then I talk and respond with you in real time. And it makes that conversation that I'm hoping to build here at the podcast. And I'm very, very much looking forward to that. And again, if you have the opportunity to, please subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on whatever your pod server of choice is. Also, if you have the opportunity to please, please rate and review the podcast, to share the podcast, to share the links that you see on social media, those go a long way to help the podcast too. And I can't do this undertaking without you. I know a lot of folks think, oh, there must be hundreds and thousands of listeners to this. That is not the case. We are in that growing phase. And if you're trying to get someone to understand the Anytown spirit, if you're trying to communicate how you feel, or if you're trying to explain really complicated topics, this is the way to help you do those things, because I will hit on specific topics as well as show ways that you can talk and teach others about these important topics and other details. So please rate and review us. That's how others find us. That's how we share the importance of inclusivity in our community and become those inclusive activists that we're hoping to be. So please rate and review, share, let other folks know that this is out there, and become a regular subscriber, because that goes a long way to make a huge difference for the people that run this podcast, both myself and Sarah. We're not in a place where we're really bringing in income yet, and if I can get some ads in here, that will make it so this will be a sustainable thing for years to come, which we are very much looking forward to. And as always, if you have been listening, if you've been a regular subscriber, and you want to get to know more about this movement, you can do that. You can send us an email at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. That's inclusiveactivism@cox.net. And to get to know a little bit more about me, about Sarah, about this organization and what it does, go to www.inclusiveactivism.com, and we have information and stuff up there. And if you, as always, if you're interested in bringing the power of inclusive activism to your organization, you can do so at inclusiveactivism.com, and I'd be happy to get out there and help you and make the world a little bit more of a happy, cozy place. Thank you for your time, and I can't wait to get back at you with the next topic. So stay tuned, and let's see what happens next. We'll be right back.